I like that whistle in the intro as I'm walking up because I always pretend it's for me. Just kind of make myself feel better, a little pat on the back. Hey, real quick as we get started, if you're here, you're married. How many of you would say I'm married to someone who has some traits or several traits that are opposite of myself? Just raise your hands. Yeah, see, some of you got like your hand way up. You're like, you know, yes. You know, it's true. Have you ever heard this? Opposites attract, right? Until you get married and then opposites attack. Because sometimes that's what it feels like in marriage. These things that drew us together, that God sent somebody in because there were some things in our lives that we needed over time, though if we're not careful and we don't walk together in life, they can also be things that cause us just to kind of to butt heads and cause a lot of issues. And so we're starting a new series. I'm going to talk about family and relationships up through maybe through Father's Day or end of June. And I just want to tell you as we start off, like, we're going to hit some different topics throughout the series. So there may be some times where you go, well, you know what, I'm not at that stage of life right now. Today we're going to talk about marriage, and not to say if you're not married or you don't want to be married or you've been through, you know, a difficult marriage, it's not that you can't learn some of what God wants to say to you today. We're going to talk about some with kids. We're going to talk about being single. And so my hope is that together as a body of Christ, we'll learn how to help one another, how to live as ambassadors of Christ. What the world looks at, when the world looks at us, what do they think God is like? Because have you ever thought this? Because I thought this, and maybe I'm just crazy, but I would think Christ followers, and if we want to broaden that out, we would say, you know, people that go to church, their life should be a little different than people that don't, right? I mean, if we're following after God and he gives us his word on how to pattern our lives to bring honor to him and to have wholeness, then our lives at some point should look a little different. And the problem is, very often in the church world, they don't. It's the same. And we follow the same patterns as everyone else. And so here's my hope, that you'll learn some things from God's word, that he'll encourage you, that he'll help you, that he'll lead you to where he wants to be, that maybe you'll learn some other things that you can pass on to some other people, or maybe you'll get to a stage in life and God will bring back some things in your memory and you'll say, you know, this is how I need to live at this time in my life to bring honor to God, so that we can live the life that he's called us to live. Now just before we get in that, I wanted to say real quick, you've seen people walking around today with these gray t-shirts on that say Dream Team. I just want to celebrate them. These are our volunteers that make what happens up around here on Sunday morning that make it happen. They come early, they set up, they're in the parking lot, they're greeting you at the door, they're helping you find a seat, they're giving you bulletins, they're singing, they're running the tech booth. And I just want to say to anyone at Mountain West that volunteers, you guys are absolutely incredible. We are who we are. Isn't that awesome? They are awesome. We are who we are, number one, because of God. Number two, because of how you let God work through you. You have made such a difference here in changing who we are as a church repeatedly. If I should have just printed off lines from emails that I get that you just don't ever see. And they talk about, you know, the reason I came back was somebody in the parking lot was kind to me. I couldn't believe from the time I drove onto the property, the people were so nice. I was sitting in church and somebody came up to talk to me and they welcomed me. And I just want to tell you guys are absolutely fantastic. I love being your pastor. And so today they're just wearing shirts so that we could know a little bit who they are and celebrate them. And we're going to do some things to honor them today after service. So thank you guys so much. Grab your outline there in your bulletin and We're gonna walk through this a little bit, and we're gonna talk about the type of marriage that I think God would want us to have. And I obviously in 30 minutes can't hit everything, so we're gonna kind of look at a few things that can get us started. Okay, so what we're doing is we're not saying this is how it has to be today. We're kind of aiming in this direction, all right? So we can say, okay, I want to have good relationships. I want to have a family that honors God. I want to have a marriage that honors God. What direction should I aim in, and how should I begin to walk in that way? And so that's what we want to do today, is just begin to set this up to say, as our families, to honor God, let's aim in his direction and let's begin to walk that way. I told you, you know, opposites often attract, and if you've met my wife, you would know pretty quickly we're quite opposite in a lot of ways. You know, I always dream of, I don't know if anybody remembers that movie, it's years ago, you know, the movie Jerry Maguire, I always dream of her going like, honey, you complete me. Like, that's just, you know, that would make me feel so good. But really, the truth is, it's the other way around. There were so many things in my life that I was just missing. You know, I was not who all that God had created me to be. And then as God led us together and we married, it was amazing how the two of us became better because we allowed our strengths to come together, sometimes those opposite things. Now listen, sometimes they're kind of rough, right? Sometimes the opposite things that attracted you, you know, get on your nerves after a while. You know, I just loved her. She's carefree, fun, happy, goes 100 miles an hour, you know, and just, he's just ready. And then I'm a little more like, you know, hey, you know, we need to kind of bring this down and let's make sure we get everything. But early on our marriage, we lived overseas and we lived like on an island. We lived in the Philippines, and everything there moves at a whole different time frame. Well, if I'm not 10 minutes early, I'm late. Okay, that's just the way I am. She would get so frustrated because she's like, nobody shows up till like an hour after it started, and she's much more carefree. Let's just go late. And so you know what I would do? We gotten better at this as time went on. But like I'd start the countdown. Isn't that rude? I'd be like, 41 minutes, you know, 40 minutes, you know. And then when it got down to it, I'd done this terrible. I'd go get in the car, you know, and if the car was pulled in, I'd back the car out, turn the car around, aim it like to go, you know, out. She'd come walking out the door. I kind of let the car drift a little, you know, like you get the message, you know, jump in. You know, no, I did do some of that, but I stopped doing all of that. But what happens in our lives so often is what God meant to complete us, the enemy comes in and he makes it to where we feel like we're competing. And so these differences, if we don't know how to walk together and we don't learn to walk together and how God has designed us to be married, then we just end up feeling like we fight with one another. So I put this on your outline. The first thing that I put there to fill in, if you want your marriage to be what it can be, what it should be, here's what I put. Our marriages must be about we and not about me, right? The whole united and untied. When we get the I in the wrong place in our marriage, it can totally mess everything up. So for our marriage to be successful, it must be about we and not about me. This is what it says in Genesis 2:24. God speaks and he says this, for this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And what will they become? God says the two will become one flesh. That word one there is the Hebrew word, and it's pronounced something like this, echad. Right? You got to kind of clear your throat when you're saying that. So everybody try that with me. Say echad. Ready? One, two, three. Echad. All right. Now apologize to the people around you, you know. Like, sorry about that. But it's this word that means being complete. Being one, united together, tied and bound together. And so God says his design in marriage was that when we are married, we are bound together. We become one. We're joined together. Solomon puts it like this, and he's not necessarily referencing marriage at this point, but as we bring it over into this context today, we can apply it to our marriages. He says, a cord of three strands, it's not quickly broken. Just before that, he says, you know, one person can easily be overpowered, two can stand strong, but then a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And so when I think about marriage, I think about it like this, that when two people come together, right, it's like we are now a cord of two strands, and then we allow God to wrap himself in our lives. We honor him, and we follow after him. So it would be like if Elaine, my wife, and I were standing together, and we were going to enter a three-leg race. You ever seen three-legged races? I love them. I think they're funny. I got this warped sense of humor. I love to see people crash and fall and hurt. America's Funniest Home Videos, like I know that's nerdy, but I'm a fan because I think it's funny. But if she and I were together and then we wrap this cord around our leg, bound together, so physically that would be the cord of Christ binding us together. And the truth is, as long as we walk together, same direction, aiming at the same, or going about the same pace, we would be able to make a difference, right? We would be able to move forward. The problem comes, though, when we don't know how to walk together, and it just causes all kinds of problems. I grabbed a little clip off of YouTube. Watch this. This is from, like, elementary school three-legged race, and like I said, I just think they're funny. So if you're playing that.
This is good enough.
You see, the reason I play that is to give you a picture, because sometimes I think for a lot of people, this is what marriage feels like. We start off good, right? We're at the starting gate. We're tied together. We pledge our lives for one another before God, and we're in this. And then somewhere along the way, it starts to feel like it's pulling and tugging, and we're fighting against each other. And then a lot of times, right, we trip and fall. And then maybe like one of the two kids, you know, we just decide never to get back up. Or maybe like the two girls, we get back up, but it never seems right after that. You know, it's a struggle, and we're limping along, and we're trying to make it. And I don't think that's how God wants us to go through life. And something that he meant to be incredibly beautiful and to bring completion into our life. So that's why I want to talk about it a little bit today, about what is God's design for marriage. And so I put this there on your outline. Marriage is a covenant, not a contract. To begin to reframe how we think about this and our life together and our married life, we've got to begin to think of it as a covenant, not a contract. People all over the world treat it as a contract, right? A piece of paper, it's a legal agreement, and I just want to tell you, it's so much more than that. Our marriage and how we relate in our marriage actually affects our relationship with God. The people in the book of Malachi, they're kind of crying out. There's the verses there on your outline. They're crying out to God, God, what's going on, and why aren't you hearing us, and why aren't you answering our prayers, And look at what God says back. Why aren't you answering our prayers? He says, well, here's why. Because you've broken faith with her, your wives, though she is your what? She is your partner and the wife of your marriage covenant. Because marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. If you're taking notes, write this down. The difference here, what I put in your outline, a contract is based on mutual distrust. A contract is, we need this agreement because I don't know that I really trust you. So what do you bring to the table? What do I bring to the table? And if you let me down, guess what? Contract's gone. You know, I got one rental property, a house we used to own. We decided to rent it out. And let me tell you, every renter we've ever had, I have a contract. Why? Because I don't really trust them, right? I mean, in life, you go, well, that's smart, right? You don't pay, you don't stay. You know, I mean, that's kind of the contract. Let's go. Here we go. But the contract works both ways. They know there's things I need to do to fulfill my end, and if I'm not fulfilling what I'm supposed to do, then they can break the contract. And unfortunately, a lot of people go through, and their marriage is like a contract. If you don't do what you say, and I don't do what we meet right here in the middle, and at some point, if we just want to get out of this, we just break the contract. But the next thing I put on your outline is a covenant. It's different. A covenant is based on mutual commitment. It's where you say, I am all in. You know, a covenant can be kept by a person even if the other person doesn't keep their end of the covenant. Because it's not so much about the other person as it is about you. A contract is often about them. If you do and you do and you do and you don't and you don't and you don't, then we're happy. A covenant is much more about you, where you say, I'm all in. It's like the way God is with us. God made a covenant with us to love us, to give us life. And the fact that we turn away, fall away, walk away, run away, whatever it is, doesn't change how God loves us. He says, even when you're unfaithful, I will remain faithful. Because God made the covenant. God said, I am all in. And for a marriage to work to bring honor to God, that's what it is. It's a covenant where we say, you know what? I am all in completely, 100%. There is no back door. I'm just making a contract before the state where we sign a paper. I am standing before God, saying, till death do us part, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. I am making a covenant to say, I am all in 100%. Totally binding. No back door. Vow to God. Divorce. This is what I teach couples, premarital counseling. And I know, and we'll talk about it just a bit more here, because I know life and how we've been. But here's what I say. Going into marriage, I would say, listen, divorce is not an option. What you need to do, if you really want this to be all that it can be, you need to, from all the dictionaries in your mind, you need to erase the word divorce and just live as if the word does not exist. Because most people can make it through just about anything. But when that word is on the tip of our tongue, when that word is played, right? When that card is played and that word is laid down, you can never take that back, can you? And usually that's the beginning of tons of issues. When somebody says, you know what? I think we should just get a divorce. And they begin to walk in that direction. It just begins to erode the marriage. Yeah, I thought it was funny. I had read this. I don't know if it really happened, but I just thought it was funny. It was a little story about Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, a worldwide evangelist. And a reporter was interviewing her, and he said, you know, hey, have you ever thought about divorcing Billy? And she's like, divorce? No way, never thought about divorcing him. She said, thought about killing him a couple of times, you know, but never thought about divorce. Because as part of life, it just wasn't an option. Covenant is when you say, I am going all in. Now listen, this is risky. A contract doesn't, you don't extend your emotion quite as much in a contract, do you? Because a contract always has the way out. It's the big difference. When we go into marriage as a contract, we don't totally give all of ourselves, because we go, well, I might get hurt, I might get burned, it might be hard. And some of you, you've been through that, and so you know, I know what that feels like. And so instead of saying, you know what, I'm all in, we go, well, I'm mostly in. But here's the things I'm telling you. You want a marriage the way that God designed marriage. It's about a covenant. It's about saying, I am going all in. This idea, covenant, comes from a word in the Hebrew that it actually means sharing of blood. It means a blood covenant. And I was reading a little bit about this, and in old times, sometimes what they would do is they would take in the bride and the groom, they would stand before the priest, and they would actually make a small cut in their hands. Now, that's kind of gross, but Leviticus says that, you know, life is in the blood. And so what they would do is, before one another, they would join hands. So it's like this mingling of their life, of the blood. Then the priest would tie their hands together and say, you are now one. Your blood is shared. There is no separating the one. You are now part of each other. It's the idea of what a covenant is. It's God's beautiful picture of marriage as he's established the gift of lovemaking for the covenant of marriage only. Listen, and I don't want to go too far. I'm not trying to be graphic or gross or push it too far. And if I do, you can write me later. But if you ever think about how God designed marriage, and God's perfect economy. Okay, not that we're perfect, and I know, and not saying that, oh man, if you've done this or that or made these choices, not saying that God doesn't redeem you. But if you just think about it, in God's perfect economy, the virgin man would be pledged, would marry the virgin woman. They would go in the night of their wedding, they would consummate their marriage, and what would happen? There would be a blood covenant. There would be a shedding of blood. It's the way God has designed for this in an ideal world. And I know, listen, my job, my hope today is not to add guilt to anybody. Okay, I know we're all on a journey. Sometimes people have made choices, mistakes. Some of you, I know, you've shared your story with me. And some of you have a lot of heartache. Some of you, if I could go back and change this, I would change this. Some of you, it was through no fault of your own. It's somebody chose to walk out and leave. Some of you, it was before you came to Christ, and it was dumb decisions. I get it, okay? Not here to do that. I'm just here talking about from today forward. All right, so sometimes you can't go back and fix the past, right? I mean, you can't go back and go, oh, I got to undo all of that. What if we just said, okay, from today forward, I'm going to live a life where my relationships, my marriage, if that's what God has for me, brings honor and glory to God. But here's what happens is, so often in our lives, we practice marriage before being married. And how do we do that? I'm not even talking about just, you know, what comes to everybody's mind. I'm talking about sometimes we give ourselves away emotionally, wholeheartedly, to someone that we have no covenant with. But I love her. But I love him. Pastor Michael, you're just a prude. You're right, I am. You know, you'd be like, I feel sorry for your kids. Well, feel sorry all you want. This is what I teach my kids. Okay, not that they'll follow it. I just want them to know. This is what I believe the Word of God says. So I'm going to bring it to you just because we're family, right? But people give themselves away totally, completely. Making commitments, having conversations, having emotions that really God has reserved for marriage. Oh, but I love Oompa Doompa Pudding Pie. I love you. You know, I mean, whatever you call your sweetheart. You know, but I love, and it's true. What happens? Down the road, you split up. Man, devastation. Till the next cute thing walks by, right? You're like, I love you. You know, and then maybe some people take a little further, you know, and they're starting to stay together, and his toothbrush is at her house, and he has a drawer at her house, and, you know, they start being together and sleeping together, even though the Bible says that the marriage bed is to be kept holy and pure. But, you know, we love each other. Listen, this is real life, okay? I hear this a lot in what I do. Isn't it okay, but we love each other? No. It's something God has reserved for a covenant of marriage. Because what happens is when there's that, when it's treated like that, then you go through one person and now they're out the door, right? Well, take your toothbrush and hit the road, dude. You know, you're out. Give me my key back. And then it's the next. And what we're doing is we're practicing marriage and practicing divorce and practicing marriage and practicing divorce. Then you find the one and you walk down the aisle and you pledge your life before God and everybody. And then what happens the first time it gets difficult? We've been practicing this a long time. Here's your toothbrush. Hit the door. Because we think of marriage as this contract between two people, and it's not. Marriage is a covenant where we say, I am going all in. Now, again, not trying to stir up bad feelings, negative emotions. I'm just talking about, okay, how do we want our lives to be? So you guys that are single, you guys that are single again, you guys that are married, you guys that are wanting to be married, those of you that are hoping to get out of your marriage, I don't know where you might be, you know, you'd be like, oh, we just want to aim in the direction and say, what does God want for our lives? And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think, you know what, it's time to understand this a little bit more. You say, well, what about me? And I need, and it's about, no, it's not about me. It's about we serving he, right? If you want a little line, it's about we together, joined together. Remember, we're locked together, walking together. Christ has bound us together, the three cords, and together we are serving God. Now, as covenant partners, I just want to unpack this a little bit. I only got time. I'm going to go two things, and I'm going to go through them very quickly because I'm running out of time. How do we do this? What does this look like? Here's what I put on the first one. Mutual submission. Mutual submission. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and this is a passage of scripture. It scares a lot of people. Oh, no, we're going to go there. We're going to go there in just a second to the part that everybody knows. You know, because the part that gets quoted is, why, woman, submit to your husband. You know, and men go, amen. You know, but before that, tied in with all of this, the same thought, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says this, submit to one another. Okay, this is how he starts. And then the rest is this explanation of how do we do this practically in our lives. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another not because they're worthy of being submitted to. We submit to them because of what God has done for us. It'd be like this. If you say, man, God, I am so thankful. You changed my life and transformed me. And I want to bring glory and honor and worship to you. I want to reverence you. What do you want me to do? And God says, well, I'll tell you what you do. All that you're feeling, that emotion, that passion, that love, that servanthood, you say yes. And God says, take all of that and pour it out on your spouse. And we're like, no, God. I'm talking me and you, you know, not them. And God says, no, this is the way I've designed marriage to work. You love me. You want to worship me and honor and respect me and revere me, then take all of that and bring it to your spouse. You know what submission means? I love this. Elaine was teaching me this. I thought this was a great concept. Submission means coming up under the mission of someone else. Now that sounds a little different than you do this and you submit to me and I said, get me some water and sit over there and where's dinner? You know, then when we think of it like that. What if we thought of it as submission means I come up under the mission of my wife? Say, how has God created her, and what are the gifts and passions he's put inside of her, and how can I make her the person God created her to be? And she says, you know what, I'm going to come up under the mission of Michael, and I'm going to say, how has God designed him, and what are his gifts and passions and desires and dreams? How can I help him fulfill the dreams he has for that? Now tell me, wouldn't you want to be in a marriage like that? Where both of you are saying, you are my mission. I'm going to come in, I'm going to make sure your dreams are fulfilled as best as I can. And why? Because they deserve it? No. Because of what God did for me, because of how much he loved me. This means we go into marriage not as so many people think, a 50-50. I tell every couple I counsel, marriage is not a 50-50 deal. Okay, because that's what we think. It's going to be 50, everything's going to be even. 50-50, we're going to meet right in the middle. But you know what the problem is with that? It's a contract, isn't it? And as soon as one gives 45, what do? It's human nature. You don't give 55, you give 45. Well, you don't want to give him 45, I'm going to give him 45 too. Now you're drifting, right? And then they go, well, you're only giving 45, I'm only giving 30. And you're like, well, you're giving 30, I'm giving 25. And all of a sudden, you're sitting in my office on two sides of the couch, right? Going, just a couple years ago, y'all couldn't separate you. And what happened? It's that we thought this was this 50-50 deal. Here's what marriage is. Marriage is 100%. It's saying, I'm in. I'm in even when you're not in. Even when you can only give 10%. I'm 100% in. When you go into it thinking like that because you're making a covenant, it will change everything. And if two people go into it like that, it is absolutely incredible. It's the best thing God has ever designed when we do it his way. It's a covenant. It's I will do unto you, not as you do unto me. I will do unto you as Christ has done unto me. When you begin to get that perspective, it changes everything. All right, let me jump to the last one here because I want to make sure I get this. And man, I'm going to get on you a little bit, so just get ready. All right, here's the next thing. It's mutual submission, and then it's godly leadership. Godly leadership. All right, and I'm just going to read the scripture. Don't get mad at me. All right, if you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at God because he put it in his word. You know, so don't send me the emails. You know, send it to God@God.com. I don't even know. But here's what it says, all right? Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. My aunt used to say, well, if he's the head, then I'm the neck. You know, I'm going to turn him whichever way I want to turn him. So I don't think that's what he's talking about, but, you know, I mean, all right, anyway. Verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also, and here's the part that, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And I know, and instantly you're coming, oh, you know, and let me tell you, listen, I married a strong woman. I'm a defender of women. I would totally agree. You have been pushed down, kept down. You've not been paid the same. You've been told you couldn't lead in society. This is talking about marriage. This has nothing to do with our lives in society, okay? It's talking about our home. And I think for way too long, we have robbed women of the gifts that God has put inside them, okay? So I'm with you on that. However, doing what I've done for 22 years, I've watched the way that God has ordered a home. There is a way that God has designed for it to work best. Now the reason a lot of women struggle here, in my opinion, is because they've never really seen godly leadership. They've seen distorted leadership in the home. Okay, no women, amen, and y'all be quiet just for a second. Especially if you're sitting by your husband, you know, they'd be like, thanks, honey, appreciate that. Because here's what happens. A lot of times men just get too dominant. Well, it's just submit, you know, and you better submit. And here's what happens. Men just get mean. And they can, even men that know how to wield the sword, the Bible, they take it and they use it to hurt their wife. And I think, there's not a wife out there that would want to submit to that. Even as far as you're, or the other side, not the dominant man, but the passive man. I don't care. I don't know. You know what? Just not how God made me. I'm going to go over here and play my video games, and you just go ahead, honey. Do whatever you want, you know, letting her take on all the responsibility. That's not leadership either. And I think for a lot of ladies, because this is what I've noticed. No matter how strong the woman, no matter where she's come from, almost everyone that I've ever counseled said, you know what, if he would just lead, I'm with him. I love him. I want him to be the man God has called him to be. So, man, listen, maybe it's time at some point to kind of rise up a little bit and step up and lead. You say, well, that intimidates me. Does that mean I got to make all the decisions? No. If you make all the decisions, that makes you a dictator, not a leader. And things don't usually end well for dictators. You know, you don't probably don't want to be there. This means you sit down together. Best example I heard this guy say it like this. I just loved it because I like the pictures. He said, it's like point leadership. He said, Babe Ruth, 1932 World Series. Babe Ruth's up to bat, right? And what does he do? He gets up, he's standing ready, and he points to center field. Oh, cocky, look at that. He said, that's where the ball's going. What does he do? Man, hits it, boom, jacks it over the fence, gone, home run. Everybody was amazed. Think of that picture. You know what your family needs? Your family needs point leadership. To where you sit down with your wife and you say, let's decide where we want to go and where we want to be so that we can honor God. And then you spend your time in the family pointing. You say, remember where we said we're going to go? You can trust me. I'm going to get us there. Remember when you said we wanted to be out of debt? We're heading that direction. Remember when you said you wanted to raise our family this way? Honey, here's where we're going, right? You become the one. You say, honey, we're going. We're pointing. You get a little background. Elaine and I did this before we got married. We set some values. I won't tell you all of them, but we set some values that we just said, these are going to be important to us. One of them was we wanted to have dinner at home during the week more times than not. So at least four nights a week. And in ministry, that can be crazy. Okay, but we said, this is important. So we started even when it was just us two, when it would have been easier. Maybe when we have kids and we'll run. We said, no, we're going to carve out the time. What do? I point. I say, here we go. Life got busier. We have kids. Kids got involved in sports. We noticed, hey, you know what? Things are getting a little out of balance. What am I doing? I'm going back and saying, honey, remember, we agreed. And I point. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to take our kids out of sports. You're going to ruin your kids, you know, not letting them be in sports. I said, no, you know what? The value of our home was to have our family together. Not to have our kids in sport. Now, look, I'm not saying your values have to be mine. Yours are yours. I'm just saying for you men, sit down with your wife. You don't do this alone. Sit down and say, where do we want to be? What has God put inside of us to be? And then spend your days being somebody she can honor and respect. And you begin to point. People say, well, my wife just doesn't respect me. Maybe you need to be somebody that she can respect. Be a man of integrity. Be a man of prayer. Be a man of purity. Be a man who knows how to wield the sword of the Spirit, not to hurt your wife and family, but to fight off the enemy. Be a man who serves, who learns how to submit and come up under the mission of your wife. Let me tell you, you begin to do some of that. I've seen this over and over and over. life will begin to turn, and she'll say, that's a man I can follow right there because I trust him, because he holds to the values that we have set, because I know that he loves me and I have faith in him. Sometimes it takes us being godly leaders. Okay, the scripture I put on there is the rest of this. This is how this happens in our lives. Okay, this is for the men. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for the body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. When you do that, the second part happens, and the wife must respect her husband. So what do we do? You say, well, I'm single, and I don't know what to do, and I'm married, and it's not really where I want it to be. I put the last scripture. We're gonna skip Luke 1 and go to the last one there, Psalm 34:3. Listen, if you're single, can I give you a piece of advice? Run toward God with all your heart and soul. Aim in his direction and start pursuing him. And while you're pursuing him, turn around and look to the right or the left. See if there's anybody cute running after God as fast as you. All right, look. All right? Isn't that... Find that God says, there we go. Join hands with them. And I know it sounds hokey because it's the way it's written in the Bible, but get the message and then do this together. Say this, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You find somebody that you can link with, and God puts you together, and you say, together, we're going to bring honor to God. Your marriage right now is not where it needs to be. You know what you need to do? You need to go home tonight. Get on your knees at your bed with your spouse. Join hands and read the scripture that say, glorify the Lord with me. Let our lives bring honor to him. Let's put him first. I'm way, way, way out of time. Can I give you one tip? And I told you guys this before. You're married. Pray together out loud with your spouse. If you forget everything else I said, that'll change your life. Tonight when you get home, grab her hand and say, honey, we're going to pray. And pray over her. And ask God to bless her. Okay, it'll change everything. It'll begin to change your heart. And it'll change your relationship. Magnify, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you.